So we're picking up. We should probably just go through the Gemara, because the Gemara and the concepts going on here are tricky. And then we'll just look at the Tosfos and some of the various approaches in Rishonim. To the problem from Dabar Hagon the Mamun Dami, right? So we're kind of parachuting into the middle of the Sugya, because we now have a Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. What happens if you steal and shecht a Shor HaNiskal, right? Shor HaNiskal being...
Shor is supposed to be stoned,
right? Why?
Because
it gored someone fatally, right? So Shor HaNiskal is supposed to be stoned, and it is Aser B'Hana. Rabbi Natam has a very novel shita that the Aser Hana only is activated after it's been killed. Before it's been killed, it's not Aser B'Hana, but... for whatever it is, right? The store is certainly not going to get much money on the open market. There's an Aser HaNa in the picture, and it's supposed to be killed. So the Chachamim say that there is no Chiyuv Dal Behei, and Rabbi Meir disagrees. Okay, so let's pick up with the Gemara. Gemara is going to try to figure out what the case is, and the Gemara we said started with. Which one?
After
this. Okay, perfect. Great. Someone read it.
Okay.
Great.
I'm a rabba. Hacham ma'askinar. So what are we talking about? Kedon shemasu l'shomer v'hezik b'beit ha'shomer nu'ah b'beit ha'shomer v'nigmar nino b'beit ha'shomer. So we're talking about someone giving something to a shomer when it was damaged in the house of the shomer, and then someone testified that it was there, and then
The shor did the damage in the Beis HaShomer, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. But the Hu'ad Beis HaShomer means someone saw this.
As opposed to, you're translating as testified against? I think it means it was made Mu'ad, yeah.
But then Nigmar Dino Beis HaShomer.
Right. And what's the Gemar Din that the shor is getting?
That it should be...
Skill?
Yeah, right. Break out the rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rabbi Meir, Severlach Rabbi Yaakov, Severlach Rabbi Shimon, Severlach Rabbi Yaakov, Damar. Okay, so Rabbi Meir thinks like Rabbi Yaakov and thinks like Rabbi Shimon. Severlach Rabbi Yaakov, so the way that he thinks like Rabbi Yaakov, is Damar, Ach Mishanik Mardino, Ixir Shomer Labalim, Muzak. So he thinks that even when the din is decided, the shomer should pay the baalim, or return it to the baalim.
Right. So when the owner entrusted his cow to the shomer, mm-hmm. it was a nice, well-behaved, in good standing, clean record cow.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what's the cow that's being dumped back onto the owner?
It's going to be stoned.
Right, a cow with a death sentence. So this cow is now worth substantially less money, right? Because it's going to be killed. So if you're the shomer, so are we going to say that the shomer can't get away with doing this, right? The shomer can't, you know, watch a cow, let it become a murderous cow on his watch, and then turn around and dump this now worthless cow onto the original owner? Or do we say that no, it's the same, you know, it was Betsy the cow before, it's Betsy the cow now, it's a healthy, living, kicking, breathing cow, and therefore he should be able to give it back, even though it's got a death sentence on its head.
So Rabbi Meir would say that he can return it.
Right, and that's the position of Rabbi Yaakov, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be killed, giving back the actual animal is considered giving back. Okay, good.
V'savralak Rabbi Shimon da'amar, davar ha'gurim l'mamon kemamon dami. He thinks that Rabbi Shimon, because he thinks something that like causes you to pay money is like money. We'll explain it later.
Yeah.
Arav Kahana, Amrita Lishmata, Kameder of Zavid Minaharda.
Wait, did we skip?
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. I did. It was an accident. Does that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Shechaya Bachayutan Chayav? So, we learned that Rabbi Shimon said that Kachim, that you are responsible for them. Chayav. Yeah. You have to then pay for. It's hard to translate this without Rashi.
Okay, so we go to Rashi.
So if you are catching touching your belly and inking in the belly. So if you stole someone's kachin, you still have to, like, at once someone already made a kachin because they said, hooray, alive, well, like, you still
right.
have to pay them kfal still, because, even though it doesn't actually belong to them anymore, it belongs to kachin. Once they said, hooray, alive, ola, and then it was stolen, they would have to replace it with something else because they already said they would bring.
Right, exactly.
So that's the zavar hagor mamon, because you, like, you're causing them to have to pay.
Right. So do I have, if I designate a cow as an ola, so if do I own the ola anymore?
No.
Not really, right? I mean, there'll be a debate, but more or less, right, the ola now belongs to Hekdesh, but if the ola is lost, then I will lose the value of that ola, right, because I'm going to have to designate a new cow as a carbon instead.
Mm-hmm.
So this cow has the status of gorim lamamon, because even though it's not actually mine, right, its loss will cause me to lose its value. Okay? And so how do you know that Rabbi Shimon thinks that davar hagorim lamamon kimamon dami?
From this example, because he thinks that if you steal, if this case happens, you need to pay the belly.
Right, if you steal someone's kachim, so even though he doesn't own the kachim, you have to pay him, right? Because he may not own the kachim, but he owns the gorim lamamon-ness
right.
of the kachim. Okay. By the way, what's the difference between chayev, kachim shechayev v'achar yusan versus kachim she'ino chayev v'achar yusan? What are those two categories of kachim? Yeah.
One is like harizat ola, one is harizat olai ola.
Exactly.
Right, and this is harizat olai ola.
The nether one.
Neder and Nadava, a distinction, exactly, right? And the difference being is that if I said, Hare Ze'ola, and then it's gone. Right. Okay, good.
Okay. Devar Hagori Mamamot. Amar Pahana, Amrita Lishmata, Kamedra, Zebid Minahardpa, Mimati Mukmat, Matsininin, Karabi Meir, Velo Karabi Shimon. So he said this to Rab Zebid Minaharda.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Where do you find that we learn? Where do you find that we learn like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon?" V'ha katani seifa. So is he in the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu michlal de b'ku. We see that at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is poter in two things. Michlal de b'kula batznitin moda. So we learn that since he was since at the end he was poter in just two, he was moda in the rest of them.
So why are we saying that the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, and why are we excluding Rabbi Shimon? Right? It seems like Rabbi Shimon agrees to everything except for those two cases.
Right. But he answered him, no, he's not moda in everything, it's just in tavach, machar, and refua, and klavim.
Right. When you slaughter it
for refuah and klavim.
For refuah and klavim, not for consumption. Right. So then Rav Shimon will agree, they're chayav dal behei, but not in Rabbi Meir's cases. Okay. So what we end up with is, according to Rabbi Meir, if you steal someone's shor haniskal and you shacht it, you will you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay dal behei. And the Gemara wants to know, why is that? Right? If we take a step back, that's a little bit surprising, because the shore is going to be stoned, right? So it may even be worthless if we say that it has an Isser Hana. So how, you know, if I'm stealing something that's worthless, how am I chayiv for Geneva, and how am I chayiv for Dalid Dalbe? So, and then the answer that the Gemara gives, we'll have to figure out how that answer answers the question, or why we need that answer. The Gemara's answer is that this is a davar hagorim lamamon, and even though the cow itself may no longer have any value, its loss would cause that equivalent damage to the shomer in this case, right? Because if the shomer can get away with returning a shor haniskal to the owner, right? Now that you stole and slaughtered the shore, the shomer will have to give a fully healthy shore, right? So let's say a cow's worth $1,000 on the market, right? So since you are causing him to lose $1,000 by stealing the shore haniskal, therefore you will have to pay $5,000, right? Because it's a shore. So you'll have to pay $5,000 for stealing and shechting that cow, right? Because you are causing him the equivalent loss. So, especially when we talk about, even though you're not directly stealing the object, your theft is causing a loss. So that launches all Rishonim into the following question, which is why is the Gemara invoking Rabbi Shimon, right, whose position was Davar Hagorim Lamamon Kemamon Dami, right? That's something which its loss causes an equivalent loss is considered equity. Why not say something else, say something much more simple, which you already have Remeir himself on record as holding later on in the Gemara, right? And what's the concept, and I'll show him ask, that the Gemara says, that they say, why didn't the Gemara bring instead of Dabar Hagorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami?
Dina
Degarmi. Excellent, right? Dina Degarmi. Which is, what exactly? It's a not fair question. Not a fair question for me to ask, because the Ramban wrote a whole book on that question, right? But in broad strokes, what's Dina Degarmi? Or even the example that Tosfot bring from the Gemara? Of Dina Degarmi.
Sorry,
start it. Right, exactly. Sorry. Yeah. So what is sorry? What is sorry? Sorry, of shel chaveiro.
You burn your friend's shtar, which like sort of represents their ownership over it, but it's not that the shtar itself is inherently valuable.
Right. Modern day equivalent would be if you burned burned a pile of checks.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, he could take the checks to the bank and deposit them for a lot of money, but the check itself is not legal tender, right? So burning someone's shtaros is indirect damage,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'm not, you know, ripping up his dollar bills. I am causing him to lose access to his dollar bills. So that's Dina Degarmi, and Remeir is of the opinion that you're chayev for Dina Degarmi. So the question is that if you're chayev for Dina Degarmi, right, if you're chayev for the case of star of Soresh Taras of Shachaveir, for burning the checks, why do we need to bring in Rabbi Shimon from left field on Davar Hagorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami? Right? You know, Remeir is a Tana talking here. Remeir is a Tana who said that Shor Haniskal, you pay Dalvehe if you steal it. Remeir is also the Tana on Tari Ches who's going to say that Dina de Garmi are Chayiv. So why do we say, oh, Remeir has to hold like Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Meir has to hold like Rabbi Shimon? Don't bring in Rabbi Shimon. Just bring in plain good old Remeir. Right? That's the question that sets off all the Rishon. Okay, so Tosfos have three basic answers. The third is the easiest and simplest and least to talk about. So we'll just put the third on the record first. Right, that's the second to last line of the Tosfos where they quote the Riva, and the Riva says very simply, Remeir only convicts you of Dina de Garmi mi de Rabbanan. Right, midah oraisa, you're only chaya for direct damage. Midah rabbanan, we're gonna convict you even for indirect damage, which certainly makes a lot of sense. And a lot of Rishonim talk about whether we pass on three or not. But if that's the case, right, if dina de garmi is only midah rabbanan, then that's not gonna cover us here, right? Because in our Gemara, we're gonna need a chiyav midah oraisa, right? Why do we need a chiyav midah oraisa in our case?
Shortness cause diversa. We learned about the shortness from the Torah.
Right, so I mean, the Sharanis skull midah reisa is definitely going to be stoned.
Right.
But why, in order to convict midal behei, why do I have to be chayiv midah reisa? Why can't I be chayiv midah rabanan?
Because it's some basic halal that we're not thinking
about right now. Yeah, which is we can't convict you of kenosos unless you are chayiv midah reisa. Right, so it's gonna have to be recognized as a theft midah oraisa in order for us to make you pay not only the keren but also the kefel and the dal bei. Right, so that's how the Riva explains the Gemara. Right, no problem, and then there's nothing left to talk about. So the problem is, what if we think that Rei Meir thinks that Dina Digarmi is midah oraisa? Right, the midah oraisa, this is recognized as a full form of nezek. And therefore you're going to have to pay. So what do we do, right? What is the difference between davar hagorim lamamun and garmi? What is the difference between, right, we translate davar hagorim lamamun as something which its loss, causes you to lose an equivalent amount of money, versus garmi, which is indirect damage. So what are we going to do? So Tosafot have two other answers, and they both need to be explained. Right, so I want to take them. One is the Shlomar, which is ending the fourth line. I jumped the gun. Where is the first one?
Is it V'yishlomar de'ikonami? V'yishlomar
de'ikonami, yeah. V'yishlomar de'ikonami svar lameimar.
Because it was like a star, I guess, sort of like.
Right, so that's the
money where you could use it to pick up any type of money. That's universal.
Right, that check can be used in any bank anywhere, right? Everybody will recognize this as a way to access money, right? It is indirectly worth money to everybody.
Like a dollar bill.
So that's complicated, because that gets the question of the status of cash in halacha, right? Because on the one hand, cash represents money. It's not actually worth money, right? You don't want to do kiddushin with a dollar bill. But on the other hand, everyone recognizes cash as legal tender, right? So cash is complicated, right? Bleich wrote an article about cash in my Beis Yitzchak. But so let's stick with checks, right? Because
he wrote about modern cash.
He wrote about modern cash. Right? Why can't you go to the ATM machine and take out a 20 for kiddushin, right? Why do you have to, or more than a 20 if you're feeling romantic? Why do we have to use a gold ring? Okay, so when it comes to garmi, that applies to stuff which is universally going to be useful, right? As opposed to, and then keep going.
When you put your gef on top of someone else's weed,
yes, that's not nice. What is it? What happens when you put your
climb?
Climb, right? You've climbed up his grain, and now it's aser b'hana, right? So is that's not direct damage, right? Because I didn't destroy my neighbor's grain. It's garmi, because I made it aser b'hana, and now mamela, he can no longer get any benefit from it, right? So that's another case of garmi, of indirect damage. And so there also, right, is the grain universally useful?
So by those things, in a roi el zeshi paterbo, that's low. It's only roi in terms of the person who himself it was, who now no longer gets benefit from it.
Right, because, so for the Shor HaNisgal, right, so the Shomer is very interested in the value of the Shor HaNisgal, right, because why is it important to the Shomer?
Because he has to watch it and he no longer has it, then he has to reimburse the original owner.
And if he still has the Shor HaNisgal, what can he do with it?
He could use it for, certain actions for his funeral.
Well, it's going to be stoned to death.
Oh.
But there's something that makes it especially valuable to the Shomer and to nobody else.
He's going to be stoned to death?
No, well, not the Shor is going to be stoned to death.
Why is it valuable to him? It's got to be stoned to death. Go, because he can return it to the original.
Because he can return it to the owner, and by doing so, save himself from having to pay a lot of money. Right? But that is uniquely applicable to the Shomer, right? To nobody else. So we could say, right, Rei Meir needs Gorem Lamamon, because Garmi only applies to, like a universal loss, and Dina de Garmi applies, and Gorem Lamamon Kamamon Dami applies even to a case of specific loss, where that loss is only relevant to one person. Okay. There's one exceptionally basic logical question to ask on this. Not even Akasha, but just like,
on the idea of him returning it?
How does the answer the question? Right? The Shach rejects this because the Shach says, what's the difference? At the end of the day, what do I care? What difference does it make whether the money is universally, right, the check which is universal indirect damage versus the Shor HaNisgal, which is only indirect damage to the Shomer?
Because either way, directly he returned that to the original owner.
But did I cause the guy to lose? In both, I burn a check and then I steal a Shor HaNisgal. I caused loss. So what difference does it make if it's universal loss or if it's specific loss? It's loss to the loser. So I should have to pay. Right? So that's left unclear. Why should universality be a actually make a difference? Okay, so that's their first answer, and we need to work on that. And Tosus have a second answer, right? V'yesh mefarshim.
V'yesh mefarshim. V'yesh mefarshim de la ga'amar de sarah like Reb Shimon, v'shum de Reb Shimon ka'amar behedya de chayev arba de chamisha b'dabar ha'gorim v'mamot. Reb Shimon says explicitly chayev for saying that's 4 or 5, by saying that's gorim v'mamot. It simply suggests that you're really high 4 or 5, and the bar hagorim lamamon. Person have bigar lamamon, the
riva. Period. And then we get to the riva's answer about the derabanan. Right, so now there's a new proposed distinction, right, between gorim lamamon, kamamon dami, and garmi. So let's say if all I had was Garmi, so I would not have known that you're Chayev the Dalad Behe. Right? In order to get me to Dalad Behe, I need to know about Gorim Lamamon Kimamon Dami. Okay. Again, to ask why.
Why? Yeah.
You need someone to explain that to me. And Tosus proposed a distinction, but they leave the explanation off the record. Why would I think that Dina de Garmi alone, right, the law of being responsible for indirect damage, why should that render me chayev for the Keren, but not make me chayev for the Dalid, for the Dalid Behe?
Because not Midoraisa.
Well, no, they're assuming you're chayev Midoraisa. The proof is that the next answer is, it's only a chayev de Rabbanan. Right? Oh, so right now we're assuming that you're chayev Midoraisa for the Keren. So once you're chayv mida oraisa for the Karen, why not be chayv mida oraisa for the Dal Vahe?
Because the idea of Dal Vahe wasn't stated explicitly in terms of something that is deeper than Garmi. It was stated explicitly by something that is Gori Mamo.
So I steal someone's check, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I burn the check, I'm chayv Karen. So if I steal the check, what should I be chayev?
Gneva. Dalad Behe, yeah, because you are getting something out of it.
Right. I mean, we can't say dal. Bad question. I mean, we can't say dal behind that case because it's a check. It's a check. But what kanas should you be chayav for if you steal the check? Kefel, right? So what difference should it make, right? Why are we saying you're chayav karen, but not chayav dal behe? And then how is girl the mamon kamamon dami coming in and saying that you're going to be chayav dal behe, the dal behe as well? Right. So Tosfos have two proposed distinctions. And neither one, at least in the Tosfot, is as clear as we'd like it to be. Okay, so what are we going to do? So whenever you have a distinction in Tosfos, which isn't so clear, so you always want to go to Chachmei Sfarad, right? Because they'll often clear up your distinctions, and then it'll make our life a lot easier, and we don't even have to sweat so much. So the sugya comes up in Ksuvos also, and a bunch of the Chachmei Sfarad are going in this direction, but I just gave you the Ra'ah, because he really is the clearest on the issue, as far as explaining the second distinction in Tosfos. You do, I sent them out this morning. Nope, because they haven't been come up yet. Yeah. There, you got them, right? Okay.
There you go.
So I'm not crazy. Yeah, right. So the Ra'ah, right? The Rebbe Movhak of the Ritva. We only have him on a few Masechtos, which is a shame. Author of the Beda Kabayis, attacking the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis. And then my favorite work in the Rishonim, right, the Mishmeres Abayis, which is the anonymous defense of the Rashba against the Ra'ah, written by, in actuality, the Rashba himself, anonymously defending the Mechaber of the Torah Sabayis from the attacks of the Beda Kabayis, and he, the anonymous defender of the Rashba, attacks the Ra'ah extremely sharply.
It's like the guy who's running reviews of his own
What?
It's like the guy who's running reviews of his own Sfar online.
Yeah, I guess. Except, A, it was socially acceptable back then, and B, there's a lot of awesome lamdas and chidushim in the Mishnah Bias, which I don't know if we're in book reviews. Okay, so anyway, so we do have the Ra'ah on Ksuvos. It's a thin, two-volume, either blue or red set. And the Ra'ah, so he's going to kind of elaborate on the second answer to Tosos. Right, why would we say that you're Chayav Karen and you're not Chayav Dal Behe? So how does he phrase the answer? And once he says it, it makes a lot of sense. So we could start with, right, you start with the Yesh Lomar, which is on the third line, right? Yesh Lomar, third line in the Ra'ah. Afil hachi bi'inan de Rabbi Shimon, why do I need Rabbi Shimon and davar hagorim l'mamun kamamun dami? Di'imi de Rabbi Meir, lo nafka lan ela demachayef alaha mishum tashlume nezek. All I would know from Rabbi Meir, from the fact that we convicted for Dina de Garmi, is that you have to pay the payment for Nezikin. Avalav lemimra dechashav lan kegufo mamon. Right, but saying they're chayav for damages does not tell me that I look at this as actual money. Uf tashlume kefel dal behe beinan gufo mamon. In order to be chayav to pay kefel dal behe, not only do you have to be responsible for destroying or damaging or taking something, but you have to have taken something which in itself is seen as money. Right? Dina de Garmi tells me that you're responsible for damaging something. Davar Hargan Lamamun Kamamun Dami tells me that I look at this as if it's actual equity. And in order to be chayiv for Dal Behe and Kefel, you need to be, you need to have taken something. You have to actually have taken something, right? So the distinction that the Ra'ah and the Chachmei seem to make is that there's a difference between the bar we set for Nezikin versus the bar we set for Geneva, right? It's not enough to be convicted as a Ganov to have caused someone to lose value of their stuff, right? Causing the loss of value could be defined as Nezikin. And that's what Dina Digarmi tells me. Dina Digarmi tells me you don't have to directly destroy something to be Chayav Nezek, even if you indirectly destroy something, it'll be Chayav Nezek as well, right? So I may not have destroyed his cash, but I destroyed his access to the cash by tearing up his checks. That is going to be considered Nezek. That's the Chiddush of Dina Digarmi. But just because I know that I'm Chayav for Nezek, for causing someone loss, doesn't tell me that I'm considered a Ganav when I deprive them of that thing, right? I steal someone's check. So I damage them, but is that enough to make me a Ganav or not? Right? So this answer is saying no, right? In order to be considered a Ganav, not only do you have to have caused loss, but you have to have taken something, right? And if you want to be considered having taken something, so it's not going to be enough to say you're chayav for a garmi, but we're also going to have to say dever hagorin lamamon kim mamon dam, right? That's going to make you a ganav, and that's going to make you chayav kefel and dalet bay. So that seems to be what's going on in the second answer of Tosos. Right, that's why I would not have known about Dal Behay from Garmi. I only would have known about the Karen. Okay. Yeah. No question?
It really seems like he's trying to make the real capital versus nominal capital distinction.
What does that mean?
What does that mean, yeah?
I mean, like, the distinction that we were trying to avoid before about, like, cash versus...
Okay, so let's use gold coins instead of cash, because dollar bills are just complicated. So gold coins as opposed to right, the silver dollars to use my pity.
Even coins can be considered goofo mamon.
Yeah, obviously. Coins are certainly goofo mamon.
But he's saying that he's not taking, it's not goofo mamon.
Which case?
About a lot of the name of the Hashir Lakhi goofo mamon. But just make it all
about. No, telling me that I'm chayev for Garmi does not tell me that I can sit, right? So stealing, so burning a check.
Yeah.
Burning a check is Garmi.
Exactly, so burning checks are, but if you burn someone.
But telling someone that you're chayiv for burning a checkbook doesn't tell me that the checks are considered a gufo mamon.
Well, yeah.
Right. And in order to be convicted as a ganav, it's not enough for me to cause halachically recognized loss. I have to take something, right? What's the gneva?
Oh, I mean, I guess you have to take
if I didn't take money, right? So I'm a mazik. Dina de garmi is a din in nezek, but a din in nezek isn't enough for dalveh. For that, we need to have a din in gneva, and that's why we need to invoke. This is considered gufo mamon, and mamela, if I take it, right, when I take your shor haniskal, so thanks to dabar hagorim lamamon kamamon dami, even though this cow is supposed to be stoned to death, we do view it as gufo mamon, because its loss will cause the shomer to have to pay the equivalent value in response. And since we now look at the shor haniskal as gufo mamon, when I take that shor haniskal, it's considered stealing.
He never uses the word gneva. He doesn't like seem to
not
having trouble seeing.
Eld mechayev alei mishum tashlumi nezek. You're chayev nezek, but for kefal dal behei you need gufa mamon. So I'm assuming that means kneva. I think the Ravid may have said it there expressly too, but I didn't give it to you. That was my bad. Give me a second. Let me try to find the Ravid too. See if that's helpful. Oh, goodness.
Do I have
Ravid
about it?
No, the Ravid would be in the Sheet of Kabat Sass on Daf Lamed Dalet.
It's a little different Ravid.
Oh, not the one that I sent you.
Oh,
the Ravid I sent you makes another point that I hope we can bring in if we have time. We'll see. No, Lamed Dalet. What?
Lamed
Dalet. The Ravid would be at the same spot as the Ra, I imagine.
No,
I gave you guys. Yeah, I gave you guys a Ravid in Bava Kama.
Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to find one in Ksua, so you just give me a second. I'm sorry. Why is it so slow?
locked out.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wait. That's okay. I can't accidentally have two accounts.
It's a close one.
What? I'll get off the line in a second.
People are using
it. Oh, got it. Okay. There's several lack of shipment. Yeah, right.
There's so much in this.
I think I have enough.
Me?
It's towards the bottom of the
Yeah, okay, let's just move on. I don't see it. Okay, so that's option number one. Maybe we can explain that simply. It's if you want to take something, so it has to be a real something, right? And that's why there's a different bar for Nezik than there is for Gneva. Fine. So that explains the second answer in Tosos, the difference why we would know based on Garmi, we would know about Karen, but we wouldn't know about Dalid Vehe. What about the first answer in Tosos? The first answer in Tosos was that there's a difference between something which is universally worth money, right? Like a check or you know, nice wheat which you just made into kelayim, versus something which is already a shor haniskal, right? And therefore the loss of the shor haniskal is particularly problematic for the shomer. So what are we going to say? So I think that there are two main approaches you could make. One is basically in the Meiri, we'll see in a second, and one is not. So I think the answer that you could say, tell me if this makes sense, is that we've seen the idea that for Gneva to be a Gneva, there needs to be Knisa or Shusa, right? That it's not enough to deprive the other person of something, right? You have to bring it into your own possession. Right, that's part of what Gneva is all about, is that it's more than just my attacking your ownership, it's my replacing your ownership, right? So if you have something which is not universally worth money, right, it's only going to be of significance to the shomer himself, then you don't really have a kenisa or shuso, right? Because what the ganav is depriving the shomer of, and what the ganav himself are gaining are two very different things, right? The ganav is just acquiring a shor which is going to be stoned to death, and the shomer is losing the value of a full shor, right? It's a total different discrepancy. So maybe the basis for the distinction between universal loss and specific loss is really a distinction between, you know, if it's universal loss, then Mamela affects the ganav as well. But if it's only a loss to the shomer, that means that the ganav isn't actually gaining anything, and you have a defective knisa bershusa of the ganav, and mamela we wouldn't be able to make him chayev dalbe. That's just a proposal that I'll put out there. The other approach that you could say to explain what's the difference between davar garmi mamon versus garmi, right? Losing something which is indirect money versus losing the shor haniskal versus losing the checkbook. So this kind of comes out of the Meiri, I think.
Is there a marker here? Any marker?
I got one.
I'll get one.
There needs to be a whiteboard over there, also for the TV.
It's true.
Yeah.
It was a nice TV, so
I can't. It's so nice.
At least TVs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the TV just.
Yeah,
fairly aura.
I'm
trying
to
sip
my coffee.
Oh, coming through the door.
Oh, yeah.
Making a full round.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
Okay. How much time do we have? Oh, we got time. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So we can read this inside, and then we can diagram it out. Okay, so I want to take the Me'iri, because we should look at it inside, and then I'll draw it out. Okay. Just do it slowly. Yeah, that's a question we need to know. What is the difference between Dina de Garmi, indirect damage, and Garm le Mamon?
It's that which is davar hagorim mamon. Is that is which it's lost from the person's hands.
No, not it's not lost. It mi'abzo mi'abed.
Oh, mi'ab.
Right.
That is
avadati is I lost.
Oh, that's
mi'abed would be to.
To,
yeah, to make lose, right? Yeah. To make lose. So then, so how do you translate me'abed biyadayim? Le'abed biyadayim. Yeah, that was destroyed, directly destroyed, right? So Debar Garm le Mamon is something which is directly destroyed or taken.
Ella shedavar shemafsido, that was just lost.
Happens to be the thing that was lost.
Was lost. Ein ikaro mamon. Ela shehu yiftami mamon. Like, no, right? It's not that that thing which was lost itself was mamon, but that the loss of that, the shehaya niftami mamon, which was a potter someone from mamon because of that. I guess that having it being some potter from mamon, or that losing it being some potter from mamon.
Yeah, exactly. But
meaning, I think what's saying that by having an object where you didn't have a mama, for instance, like in the case of Shroniskal, you could just return Shroniskal, but that's lost the Shroniskal, you actually had to pay mama. So having that Shroniskal is not for you for mama.
So let's just diagram it out. I could be on off base here, but I think this is it.
So we have two things. We have the Garmi, right, and we have Gorim le Mamon. Okay. So get this. You know what? Better. Sorry, not Garmi. Microphone. Garmi. Worst thing. Yeah. Okay. Good. Versus. Then you have the Hafsid. Garmi is One is a direct attack on indirect money. Yeah, that's how I put it. One is a direct attack on indirect money, and the other is an indirect attack on direct money. Indirect attack on direct money. So I don't know why I just drew this. What? Indirect attack on direct money.
I would think that's Google money.
You know what? Let's put this. I apologize. I need to figure this out more. I thought that the computer was answering. Could we use Ancetosis' question? But I'm not. No, I thought really the first answer in Tosis. I thought you could use this for the first answer in Tosis. The first answer in Tosis was that there's a distinction between something which is universally worth money versus something which is only worth money for the guy himself.
It seems he's doing the exact opposite of that.
What do you mean?
I think he's doing the exact... universal would be to the gardening. The guy himself would be... It seems like he's saying the exact opposite. I think he's saying that which is only valuable to the guy himself is the garment, but that which is universal is growing.
I think you're right. Okay, I apologize. So let's scratch all that from the record. So then we're left with the explanation for the first answer in Tosfos being that it's a Kniso or Shuso problem. That's why the Ganov, the fact that it's not universally worth money is significant, because that means for the Ganov it's not worth money, as opposed to the second answer, which is, we're saying, is a difference between Nezek and a difference between Nezek and Ganeva. Okay, fine. So two more things to try to cover. Number one is this awesome idea on the Orsa Meach. So in the second answer, when Tosfos proposed their distinction between Garmi, which makes me pay Karen, and Gufo Mamon, Garim Lamamon Kemamon Dami, which makes me pay Dalad Behei, Tosfot only mentioned Dalad Behei. In fact, some of the other Rishonim, the Ra'a actually is one of them, mentioned Kefel as well. So the question is, why didn't Tosfot mention Kefel? Right. So did you see the Rosh Hashanah?
No.
Okay. So what do we think? What do you think about the fact that Tosfot didn't mention Kefel? So does that mean that, do we say Lav Dafka and really Kefel is in Dalve? And Tosfot were saying that Garmi makes me pay Karen, and Dabar HaGarm Lam Kamam Dami makes me pay for Kefel Dalve as well. So according to Chachmei Svarad, who said that the difference is between Nezek and Geneva, then that is certainly the case, right? Because there's no Kefel for Nezek. Yor Sameach argues that Tosfot actually would say that Garmi would make you pay Karen and Kefel, but it would not make you pay Dalad Behe. And he says that's why our Tosfos doesn't have Kefel in it. Some of the other versions of Tosfos do have Kefel in it. They're not going to work with Yor Sameach. But even taking his idea, why would you say that you're Chayiv Karen and Kefel for Garmi, but you're not Chayiv Dalad Dalvehe, right? If that's the case, if there is Kefel for Garmi, right, for indirect damage, but there's no Dalvehe, then we can't say anymore that this is not a Geneva. Because if it wasn't a Geneva, there would be no Kefel either, right? So how is he going to say that Garmi, maybe, right, making this Dia Kentosos, that Garmi would cause you to pay Karen and Kefel as well? Whereas Gorim Lamamun Kemamun Dami makes you pay Dalad Behe too. So, if that's the case, then how are we going to distinguish between the two of them? So I don't think he really explains it. I mean, he kind of makes the diak and just like drops it on you. So what are you gonna do? So here, this I'm pretty confident in, that you could say the following, which you think it makes a lot of sense. What do you chayav dal behe for?
Shat
din or salad. A? Yeah. A shor set, right? It specifically targets a shor and a set. In other words, it's not enough to have a maisa gneva. I have to have a maisa gneva of a very specific object, right? So what you perhaps could say, the distinction between Dabar Hagar and Lamam Kamam Dami versus Dina de Garmi, is that we'll say, no, Dina de Garmi is recognized not just as Nezikin, Dina de Garmi is recognized as taking from someone, and that's going to be a Maisa Gneva, right? Once we say that Dina de Garmi makes it into Halacha, it's a Maisa Gneva as well as a Maisa Hasek, right? And so therefore, just having Rabbi Meir with Dina de Garmi later on in Sadi Ches is going to make you pay Karen and Kefal, because it's a Maisa Gneva. But it's a Maisa Gneva of what? So, is it really in our case? What's happening to the shore?
Well, in that our case, that's
no,
our case.
Right. What I'm really stealing from him is
the value.
The value. I'm really stealing the $1,000 he's going to lose. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Ra'ah and some of the other Rishonim said, oh, right, stealing a caused loss, that's not stealing at all. That's just Garmi, that's Nezek. We could say no. We could say that stealing a cause, you know, and a Maisa Gneva, which causes a loss, right, stealing the Shor Niskal, which causes the Shomer to lose $1,000, is a Maisa Gneva. Nafkamina, you'll be Chai of Kefel in addition to being Chai of the Karen. But it's not considered stealing a cow. Right? I'm stealing a loss. I'm not stealing a cow. And therefore, I'm not going to pay dal behet. Right? And then, dabar hagor l'mamun k'mamun dami tells me that I pay for the cow as well. Right? Because dabar hagor l'mamun k'mamun dami, therefore, losing, you know, stealing this cow, it's not just, you know, it's not just stealing a loss, it's also recognized as you're stealing a cow itself. Right, davar gan mamon kim mamon dami, and therefore you're going to be chayav dal behe, and not only chayav karen and kefal. Right, so if you make that diak like the Arsaneach does, then you'll have a different answer, a different understanding of that second answer Tosos. Not a distinction between nezek and gneva, but a difference between a maisa gneva versus a maisa gneva of a shor. Which you need to get yourself up from Karen Bekefel to Dalbe. Full disclosure, if you open the Shin Gebetzes and you see the Tosos Shans, right, which is, you know, an older and more parallel version of Tosos, Tosos Shans has Kefel in there along with Dalbe. So either you think that, you know, if you think that our Tosos is arguing on Tosos Shans, then you can make your Sumeach Diak. If you don't, then you can't. But I would love you to be able to, because I think it's very cool. Fine. The very last point to make is that there's a potential fourth answer as far as how to consider the difference between Garmi and Dabar Hagor and the Mamun Kamamun Dami, which is the position of the Ravid. The Ravid argues that what Dabar Hagor and the Mamun Kamamun Dami really means, he calls it a grama de grama. What that means is that A, you've caused indirect damage, right? And B, it's only going to be damage if another factor comes into the picture, right? So if I burn someone's checks, which we said was our paradigmatic example of Garmi, so right there, it's an indirect destruction. Right, but there's no independent factor which is necessary for this to be considered a loss. Right, the owner of the checks can no longer deposit those checks. So that's Garmi. It's indirect, but it's only one stage of indirectness. Right, there's no other factor out there. In the case of Dabar Hagor L'mamun K'mamun Dami, so there are two factors at work. Number one, right? By taking away the Shor HaNeskal, I now am causing the Shomer to lose the $1,000 value of the Shor. But it's predicated on a second factor. The Shomer is only going to lose the value of the Shor if something else happens. Namely, he has to be sued by the Bailim. Right? If he's not sued by the Bailim, then he's never going to have to pay. So it may be overwhelmingly likely that he will be sued by the Bailim, but as far as halachic definitions, that doesn't matter to us. I recognize two elements of indirectness in cases of davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami. That's why he calls it grama de grama. I recognize one element of indirectness in cases of garmi, right, where you just burn the checkbook and now he no longer has access to the money from those checks. So it's all right, maybe the answer why we needed to invoke davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami and not only garmi is that garmi only gets me to one stage of indirectness. But davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami is the halacha which is applied even when there are two factors out there, and the rabbis are happy with this because this explains some of the riff and some others who think that we paskin that dina de garmi you're chayef, but davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami you're pater. So according to the way he sets this up, that will work out nicely. Okay, so at the end of the day, right, we have the question, what's the difference between davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami, right, which was used to explain the Shor HaNiskal, why you're chayef d'alav hefer Shor HaNiskal, why not just say garmi, right, why not just say you're chayef for indirect damage, that sounds like it should cover us. So answer number one that Tosos gave was that the difference is garmi applies to cases of universal loss, and davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami is specifically targeting the shomer. We explain maybe that's because there's a lack of kenisa l'rshuso to the ganav, right? Because it only is worth something for the shomer, not worth for anybody else, including the ganav. Answer number two the Tosos gave was that there's a difference between being chayev the karen, which you get from garmi, versus chayev the dal behe, which is davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami. Chachmei Sfarad explains that's the difference between nezek and gneva, right? Because who says that you took something just because you indirectly damaged something, right? According to Yosemech, that's the difference between a maisa gneva and a maisa gneva of a shor, right? So the nafka mina being kefal. The simple answer of the riva, which is the chiyuv of garmi is midrabanan, and drabanans don't get you kenesos. And finally, the Ravid saying that really the distinction you should make is between a single grama and a grama de grama, which is davar hagan lamamun kim mamun dami, since it is predicated both on the indirect loss of the what you'll need to pay to the owner and on the fact the owner will have to come over and sue you. Okay, so that's all.